I was almost really excited.
I tried to get you to move over here. Did you ever? I said, lady, a deck for maybe you. Like, I thought I'd come work for me or something like that.
Emily's not going to ruin her life. Good morning, LifeSpring. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Woo!
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 Woo! Woo! Woo! Oh, would you stand with me? I'm ready. Are you guys ready to worship?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ, the risen one. Did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the singers roar? When the lost began to sing of Jesus Christ, the saving one. And we can see that God, you're moving a mighty river through the nations. The young and old will turn to Jesus. Fling wide you heavenly gates, prepare the way of the risen Lord. Darkness tremble, and all the saints join in one song, and all the streams flow as one river to wash away our brokenness. And we can see that God, you're moving, a time of jubilee is coming, the young and old will turn to Jesus. Come on. Bring wide you heavenly gates, prepare the way of the risen Lord. Open up the doors, open up the doors, and let the music play. Let the streets resound with singing. Songs that bring your hope, songs that bring your joy, dancers who dance upon injustice. Open up.
Yes, Lord. Open up the doors. Are you willing to let the Lord in today? Not just in this building, but in your life. Like, Lord, just open up the doors of my mind. Open up the doors of my heart. I open up the doors for your presence to come in. I just, with your mind's eye, think of what that looks like for the presence of God. I get it. Theologically, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit's already here. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we just said, you know what? But I'm open and ready for more. Open up the doors. That the floodgates would be open. Holy Spirit of God, do what you do in this place today.
I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, I'm free and forgiven. I have a future.
Do you believe this?
And it's worth the living.
Come on, declare, church.
That I was made intended for life again. I was made for more.
So why would I make a bed in my shame?
So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more.
And I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation
bury my past so I'm not going back. raised back to life again. I was made for more.
Set us free this morning, Lord.
So why would I make a bed in my shame when the fountain of grace is running my way? I am yours. I was made for more.
Can we just say hallelujah? Right? Praise the Lord.
Surrounding me, let it break at your name. Still call the sea to still, the rage in me to still every wave at your name. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, breathe, call these bones to live. Call these lungs to sing once again. I will praise, sing it again. Breathe, call these bones to live. Call these lungs to sing once again. I will praise. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, 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 you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
Did you you just speak Jesus over your situation? Would you speak Jesus over your circumstance that doesn't seem to move? Would you speak Jesus when you have nothing else to say? Would you speak Jesus over the hearts in this room that are so depressed they can barely get out of bed? To speak Jesus over the anxiety and the gripping anxiety where we don't even freeze up, Lord. I just speak Jesus. Jesus, there's power in your name. Lord, you make every darkness tremble. Every demonic power has to flee. You are above it all, Jesus. Just saying your name carries power. Would you move in this place, Lord? Thank you, Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus.
Before we go into this next part, I just, this morning I was reading our daily Bible reading, and one of the passages from Psalms today, in the, like, description beforehand, was talking about how David had been betrayed by this man named Doug. I think that's how you pronounce it. I don't know. Doug sounded funny to me. I'm going to go with Doug. And as I was reading this and thinking about it, I was like, you know, it made me think of my own kids. And I've got a 5-year-old and a 4-year-old. I've also got a 2-year-old. But the 5-year-old and 4-year-old especially my 5-year-old likes to say, I'm the one in charge. She'll go, I'm the one in charge. And she'll tell the 4-year-old, oh, mom's getting candy for us, but I get one and you don't. And the 4-year-old goes along with it. And she's like, what? I don't get candy? And the 5-year-old's like, yeah, you don't get candy because I said so. And I'll walk in the room. I'm like, girls, who's in charge here? Ember, the 5-year-old, or me, the mom? And Willow's like, oh, mom, you're the one in charge. And so I'm like, did I say you don't get candy? And she's like, no. And I was like, then don't believe your sister. Why would she tell you that? And as I was thinking about that and processing that story, I was thinking about our own lives and our relationship with the Lord. And how many times do we believe what other people are saying, but we're not believing what the Lord is saying? And the Lord is saying something different to you than what the people around you are saying. But you're saying, no, that person said, I can't have this. Or that person said, I can't do that. Or that person said this. Or that person said that. And you're not listening to the Holy Spirit who's saying, no, I said, you get that. I said that thing is going to break. I said that this is what's going to happen. And as we are worshiping and we go into this next part, we're going to be singing Break Every Chain. And we don't just sing those as empty words. But I want you to think in your own life, where have you let other people put chains on you because of what they are speaking over your life, but it is not what the Lord has spoken for you. And we're going to say, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we break those chains this morning. We are not allowing the words of other people that only want harm and hurt and deceit for us. Well, we're going to say, no, Jesus, you break those chains and we're going to move forward with what you have called us to do. Amen? There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Come on, speak it out loud. What chains do you need broken? There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Church, would you speak Jesus over your situation this morning? You know, I think sometimes in our situations, we like to treat him as if he's still on the cross. Like he went to the tomb and he rose again. Like there's power in his name. Like all the songs we've been singing this morning is about freedom. We've been talking about break every chain. But hey, we got our part to play in that. Like he will meet you there. But would you proclaim the name of Jesus over your situation, over your marriage, over your family, over your job, over your kids, over those who have walked away from him, over depression, over anxiety, over the stresses of this life. Jesus, 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 Lord, would you light up the shadows, God? Would you bring life to the dead areas in our life? God, there's no one else like you. Jesus, we need you more than ever, God. More than ever, Lord. Would you break the chains in our lives, God? Break them, Lord. Set us free, God. There's freedom in your presence, God. There's freedom that comes by your name, Father. You know, I love the songs. I mentioned this, and Ashley said it so well. But the songs we sang this morning, it says, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. You silence fear. It also says that you weren't made to be tending a grave. Like, do you believe that? Like, you were called by name, raised back to life again. Like, you were made for more. So don't make a bed in your shame. The Lord has more for you. Like, I feel like we could have just spent more time in worship this morning, but the Lord has more for us this morning. And would you be even open as we get ready to go into the message and different areas of ministry as we continue this morning in our service? Would you be open, so open to what the Lord wants to do in this place? And maybe if you're not open, would he just strike you down off whatever horse or whatever thing you're holding on to? Would he just show up so tangibly in your situation that you just bow at his feet and say, have your way, Lord. Have your way in this situation. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place, God. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the presence in this place, for your presence in our lives, God. We're hungry for more, Lord. We're open to what you want to do in us and through us this morning. In your mighty name I pray, amen and amen. Would you give our worship team a round of applause, would you? Do we have any little kids in the house this morning? Yeah, I saw one stand up over here. We want to release our kids at this time. And so if you guys could, if the kids could please stand right where you are, if you're going to class this morning, and if you could just stretch out your hands, we'll pray over them as they get ready to go to their classes. Father, we thank you for your presence in this room, God. We thank you that your presence is not contained only to this room, that you do live inside of us. And so I pray that even as these little ones go to their class and as they learn about your word and learn about you, may your spirit minister to them even this morning. In your mighty name I pray. Amen and amen. You guys are released. I got a few announcements for you. Well, it's more than a few, so we'll get it moving here. Men, do we have any men in the house this morning? All right. I love it. So we have a men's bowling event that is coming up, and this is going to be on Saturday, May 11th. We'll be having at the Sacoma Lanes in Federal Way. The cost is $5 per person. Well, that's for shoe rental, and then per game, it is $6 per game. And so we'll be starting at 10 a.m., but it would help, you know, if you could show up between 9:30 and 10, you know, to find the right size shoe that you need to put on, and so that we're just ready to go. And so that will speed things things up in our check-in process. Again, this is going to be on Saturday, May 11. I'm sure we'll be sending you more information about this, but men, you want to put that on your calendar, all right? Or wives, maybe you want to put that on your husband's calendar, or if you're just a single guy in here, you want to put that on your calendar, or text yourself a reminder. I do that for myself all the time. Maybe that's just me, all right? So, men's bowling event on Saturday, May 11th. And then we're at the tail end of spring here, and we're coming into the summer, and we've got some new LifeSpring merch for you, all right? So you can go to our website, LifeSpring FS, and just go on there. There's a tab that says merch. You click on there, you get it ordered, and those will come to you. And so I encourage you, just click on the merch tab and choose which one you want. There are many options on there. And then we have a women's breakfast and clothing exchange event. Yeah, it sounds like we got some women in the house. Do I want to make it a competition? Do we have some women in the house this morning? And do we have some men in the house this morning? Oh, I love it. So Saturday, May 4th, there's going to be a women's breakfast and clothing exchange right here at the church building, and it's being held under the theme, All Things Made New, from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. And as I said, it's a women's breakfast clothing exchange. They're asking you to bring your gently used clothing and so that they can exchange that. But there will also be a panel of women who will be speaking here just about how the Lord has worked in their life. And so you don't want to miss it. Again, that's going to be May 4th, which is this Saturday. All right, at 9 a.m. right here at the church building. And then on Thursday, May 2nd, it's the National Day of Prayer. And we've done this the last few years with ILC. And by the way, I saw that Pastor Joe is in the house. Could we give him a round of applause? Thank you so much for ministering to us last week. But we get to partner again with them this, when is that? Thursday, May 2nd. This Thursday is the National Day of Prayer. And it's going to be held starting at 7 p.m. right here at the building. And we encourage you to come in, join us for a time of prayer and worship as we pray for our churches, our community, but also the world. Amen? And at this time, I'd like to invite Pete Wilmot to the stage as he tells us some more about our next level classes.
Good morning. And I'd like to call up Pastor Dan and Kent Ross and Pastor Laura, if they could come up. So our next level classes are starting tonight. They're only 2 weeks. It starts at 6:30 in the evening, 6:30 to 8, and we have four classes. We have the membership class, so if you're interested in becoming a member of LifeSpring, you can sign up and show up for the membership class. We also have
the Pursuit of Purpose. So, you guys can fill in the blank. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? That's the American dream, the pursuit of happiness. But you know what? In the Bible, it doesn't really talk about the pursuit of happiness, like, at all. But it does talk about pursuing Jesus, right? And living a life that pursues the Lord. And so that's what my class is on, the pursuit of purpose. We're going to dig into scripture and look at what the Lord says our purpose is in life. Because, you know, happiness isn't the object of our life, but it is the byproduct of a life of following Jesus. So come join my class.
I'll be doing a walk through Hosea. It might be misnamed. It might be more of a sprint since we're just taking 2 weeks. I don't know about you guys, but I really enjoyed the last Thursday night classes we had, just sitting together with a group of guys talking about God's Word. And we took Jesse down a few rabbit holes in our group. But I guess I would like to just spend some time with folks talking about God's Word. So we're going to discuss Hosea for 2 weeks. Fair warning, I like to start with a dumb game, so come prepared for a dumb game tonight.
I want to go to your class. I love dumb games. I'm the king of dumb. That's awesome. Adventures in Parenting. Can't wait. Mary and I are going to be teaching that. We have amazing parents here at the church. I love you guys. I love the way that you are raising up your kids. So we just want to encourage you. We want to pray for you. We want to be there to answer any questions you might have. And we'll just kind of give you some nuggets that we've learned along the way. Again, it's not from a place of being perfect parents at all, but it is from a place of seeing God show up again and again and again and again. He's a good God, a miraculous God. And he wants to not just do that here in this room, but he wants to do that in your family room, in your kitchen, in your house. As spouses, but also as parents. So if you want to be encouraged in that way, come on out.
And those classes, here we go.
And sign up on the website. That would really help us know who's coming. Or if you can't do that or don't want to do that, just come see me and let us know. So 6:30 tonight.
Well, there you go. Get signed up. These are all amazing classes. By the way, I feel like all of these classes should just be like full to overflowing. So get signed up 6:30 this evening. Also about the men's event, I mentioned that earlier. Men, there's a sign up at our Welcome Center. And so if you want to stop by there, if you feel like you need to head over there even right now and write your name down there, that would also help us as we're preparing for that event. At this time, we're going to enter our meet and greet. And so if you're able to stand right where you are and shake the hand of the person next to you or give them a hug, let's greet each other. Let's do that now. Well, all right, let's have you guys find yourselves back to your seat. I have the great pleasure, maybe not the great pleasure, of asking you to be quiet and come back to your seats now. If I could have our ushers come forward, we will continue our worship this morning with our tithes and offering. So let's pray over our tithes and offering. Father, we thank you, Lord, for that which you've blessed us with, God. I pray that as we sow into your kingdom, Lord, may it continue to accomplish your good works in our midst, in our community, and around the world, Father. In your mighty name I pray, Amen. And so as they get ready to go around, as you see there on the screen, there are four ways to give. You can give in-house, you can mail in a check to us, you can text to give, and you can also give online. Also, if you're visiting with us today, this morning, I'd like to just welcome you to LifeSpring. Thank you for being here. Please don't feel obligated to give at this time. We want this service to minister to you. Thank you for being here. And I should also say, if you're visiting with us, please stop by our welcome center at the end of service. We have a free gift there for you, and we just want to say hello and learn your name. And then those of you who are tuned in online, also thank you guys for joining us this morning. We appreciate that you've tuned in to LifeSpring. And so at this time, I have the distinct honor of inviting Pastor Scott Ingenieri to the platform. Could you give him a round of applause? He's been here at LifeSpring a few times, but I continue to learn from this man in worship and just how he allows the Holy Spirit to minister through him, but even through him and his wife and his family and all the amazing things that the Lord is doing through Awakened Ministry. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for ministering to us.
Well, good morning. It is good to be with my LifeSpring family. I've told you before, you're stuck with me, so I meant it apparently, right? You thought I was joking, but I wasn't. Our family loves you guys. We love your pastors, and we love just, you all have become family to us. So we're grateful, and I know your church is in a lot of transition, and I know with Pastors Jesse and Debbie, Lord, what a wild ride, right? And transition can stink emotionally, but I will tell you, when God is in it, it's blessed. And I've learned that God sends in healthy environments. And you could just say this, it hurts, but it works. And so nothing about sending is easy, but when God is in it, what you find is you'll find the blessings upon their lives as they walk in obedience. And wouldn't you want them to do that? I mean, would you want anything else but obedience from your pastors that you love? You wouldn't. In the same way, God blesses that, and it shows us examples of true surrender and such. So I'm proud of you guys. I'm proud of you. I honor you, love you guys, and proud of you guys too. What a beautiful example you are of blessing in the midst of sending. So I have a beautiful family. I live in Nashville, Tennessee. How many love Nashville? Yeah. If you could put that picture of my family up. That kid who looks like he's 25, he's 17, and that's my son Dominic. Then the other one, that's James. That's my beautiful wife Lydia. Then I have Kelly Joy and Mia. And these guys are just my world. I love these guys. Dominic is a lighting director, professional lighting director. He's touring right now with Zach Williams. And he's also, if you've heard of Kane, he's Kane's main lighting director. This summer he's going out with Walker Hayes. I think that's his name. Is that the country guy? I don't know country. So he told me, and I'm like, he's like, Dad, he's a big deal. I'm like, cool, man. So it's been fun to watch him. My other son is just, he's amazing, worshiping Jesus, starting to lead worship at his youth group. He plays guitar for us, and he's just killing it. My girls sing like angels. My wife sings like an angel. We have a ministry called Awakened Ministries International. We minister across the globe, and we minister in leadership development and care, and minister to creatives. In Nashville specifically, we minister to the music industry and discipleship and care. How many know that the songs you're singing in your church, you want to know that those people are being discipled? And so that's part of what we do is we pour into the music industry. And just recently, the Lord put a crazy new thing for us. We took over a 200-year-old farmhouse in Spring Hill, Tennessee, and we'll have a creative center. We're going to have writers' rooms. We're opening a coffee shop, Awaken Coffee Co. Come on, how many want to come enjoy Awaken Coffee Co.? We'll have a video production suite. We'll have an Airbnb, which will also be used for pastors and ministers for respite. Lots of crazy things. Probably the scariest step of faith I've had. I'm just watching money go, and I'm like, Lord, you told us to do this, right? Right, God? And so therefore, I'm going to preach to you what I'm living right now. And here's the title of my message is Fall, Don't Lean. Fall, Don't Lean. How many have heard the songs that say leaning into the everlasting arms? And I love it. It sounds wonderful. And I'm not trying. If you love that song, please do not stone me. But I don't really see scripturally where God calls us to lean upon him. He calls us to completely fall into him. Because leaning still means, right now, if I'm leaning, I still have some sense of strength in myself. I still have some sense of, okay, if I start to fall, I can catch myself. And when God is calling us into faith and into steps of faith, like your crazy pastors are doing, it requires, there is no leaning. There is no leaning, because right now, if I were to lean and somebody were to tip me a little bit, I can catch a hold of myself. When you're falling, you are completely dependent upon God. And that's what trust and surrender is. God is calling us to a complete place of dependence. And so we're going to turn to Psalm 34. And I love this. It says in the writing, it says a psalm of David regarding the time he pretended to be insane in front of Abimelech, who sent him away. How many have those times where you pretended to be insane so you weren't killed? Please don't raise your hands. I mean, but it's kind of funny because I look at the things I'm dealing with right now and the steps of faith that I'm walking in. And we had this, we were pastoring an amazing church in Phoenix, Arizona, and the Lord called us to step out in faith, and we had nothing secure, no financial stability, nothing. And we loved our church. And the Lord calls us to Nashville, Tennessee. And we're like, what are you doing, God? And I think like 3 months into it, I was like, oh, yeah. Like, how are we going to pay bills? Like, because we were just so full of faith that I didn't even think about it. I had 4 kids, a dog, and a mother-in-law traveling with me. And like, all of a sudden, I was like, Lydia's like, where are we going to live? I'm like, hadn't thought of that. She's like, how are we going to pay the bills? Hadn't thought of that. I was so excited to trust the Lord. I hadn't even thought of those things. I was truly falling. I'll tell you that. And so it says in Psalm 34, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. Come on. Let's just do that right now. Just praise the Lord right now. Praise the Lord. Lord, we bless you. We honor you. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I will constantly speak his praises. Come on. Just speak his praises right now. Lord, you are worthy. You are mighty. You are powerful. I will boast in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. So right now, just boast in the Lord. Come on, brag on him. My God's bigger than your God. Come on, boast on his goodness. You are King. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are great and mighty, O God. There is none like you. There is none like you. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. Come on, just tell of the Lord. Just look at somebody and tell them of the Lord's greatness. Come on. He's good, isn't he? I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. How many have ever had fears in your life? Listen, I prayed to the Lord and he answered and he freed me from my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. How many think that the church, God's church, should have some joy? There should be some joy in the house. I've told people one of the greatest gospel messages could be that if we would just start to smile. Like, guys, listen, I'm a prophetic guy. So my staff used to tell me, they're like, Pastor Scott, you're scary sometimes. Because when I get some kind of into prophetic moments, sometimes I just kind of get that stare. Anybody know the prophetic scare? And I just said scare. That's because I've had people say, like, I feel like you're looking at me. And they're like, and I'm not trying to. I'm sensing in the spirit what God is doing in the room. And I forget that my expression can actually deter people from God. And so I've had to be careful to say, like, all right, I need a little bit more of Dan Burch in my life. I need a little bit more of, like, all right, I need people to see that I actually am full of joy, that it's not just in there, that it's out there. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my trouble, for the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds me and defends all who fear him. And then I love this, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Or blessed is the man who trusts in him and takes refuge in him. What is trust? Trust isn't leaning, is it? Trust is falling. It doesn't take trust. I mean, I guess I trust this slightly, but I trust it enough to make sure that one leg is sturdy right now. But God is calling us, and I believe God is calling LifeSpring to completely fall into a place of trust in the Lord. What kind of person writes words like this? Quite obviously, somebody who knows Yahweh. Most scholars believe that this is King David, and if you recall the Bible stories, David was just tending his field. He was doing what he was called to do. He was killing lions and tigers and bears, oh my, and he's doing all these things, and he's spending time praising God when nobody sees him. What we just did in public, David was doing in private. And he was getting to know his God. He was falling into his arms. And this is important information to know, because it's important to know who it is that's telling you this. Because David and the Lord, Yahweh, they were tight. They were tight. I was just in Hawaii not too long ago, and everybody, like, it's like Ohana, man. And they were like, they're like up in my space loving on me. And I'm like, I love y'all. This is amazing. I love it. They were tight. They were tight. You know, David had this relationship with God, this intimacy with God. In verse 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in God or takes refuge in him. Fall, don't lean. Fall, don't lean. You know, there's a growing interest in spiritual things across the world. If you watch, if you just open up Netflix, don't actually do this, but if you just open it up and you don't have, like I have a bunch of filters and such so it doesn't show a bunch of things. But if you don't have those things, you open it up and just without even watching the shows and the movies, you see that there is a clear interest in spirituality. You see the shows and the movies about demons, about demonic things, about spiritual things, about mysticism, about all these things. There is an intriguing interest. Open up Disney. There's this growing interest in spirituality. And I believe what is happening, though, is there's this growing interest of the world in spiritual things, and there is a growing disengagement from the church of spiritual things. The world is engaging, and so they're coming into a lot of spiritual things, and the church is disengaging from the reality of the spirit world. And we're getting into the practice of Christianity instead of the reality of the kingdom of God. And I'm speaking a general term. It's careful that we have to understand this, because when I'm speaking a general term, it doesn't mean that every church is bad and every Christian is disengaged. But I'm saying in a general sense, I minister at a lot of places in a lot of different cities. And there's a lot of people who have no clue that there's a spiritual battle for their life. They're mad at the church. They're mad at the government. They're mad at their spouse. They're mad at the school system. And I'm like, did you forget that there is a demonic spirit behind these things? We have to understand the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus came and he did not just preach. He came and he said, the kingdom is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. What was he saying? He's saying, I need to change your trajectory because you're going this way into the religious mindset. And I need to move you this way where your mindset, the way you think, is kingdom. Where you understand that behind what is happening, your spouse is not the enemy. The enemy is the enemy. The school system is not the enemy. Listen, I'm not saying we don't get engaged in these things, but I'm saying we have to understand that there is a spiritual battle. The words that we speak, do we understand that there is death and life in the power of the tongue? Do we get this? I mean, I hear some of the stupidest things. People, oh, it's flu season. I always get sick at flu season. Well, yeah, you speak like that. Heck yes, you are. I mean, just some of the things that we say. Could you imagine if everything we said actually literally happened? Think about that for a moment. Because we disengage that the words that I speak, remember that it is God who breathes life into us, and he empowered us, and he gave us authority. And when we speak, there is actual spiritual authority that comes from our mouths. So if death and life are in the power of the tongue, what are you speaking? David says, we just practiced this. He praised. It says that he spoke of the goodness of God. He boasted about God. I have to be careful, man. What do? We look sometimes at our bank account and we start to speak things. And I'm not saying that we stick our heads in the sand and we're ignorant. I'm not saying that if you're sick, you don't say, oh, I'm not sick, I don't want to speak it, I don't want to say it. I'm just saying, what are you speaking over your life and ever over other people's lives, and what truth are you speaking over it? Do we believe and understand that our worship actually has spiritual significance? Do we understand, fear, that the things that we do in worship, that when we sing corporately and individually, that things are happening in the spirit? I think sometimes we think that worship is just about me. But listen to me. Your worship can impact the person around you. We need to understand that there's things that are happening. I don't feel like lifting up my hands. Who cares? I don't feel like singing. I don't ever remember worship being about how you felt. It's about who he is. And we get into this idea that the things we do, spiritual things, have to do with whether I'm feeling it or not. Listen, I've been leading worship for a long time, and there's a lot of times I don't feel like leading worship. I don't feel like dancing. I don't feel like lifting up my hands. But he is worthy, whether I feel like it or not. And if I truly believe that behind my surrender is spiritual realities and breakthrough in the kingdom of God, then I don't fully understand that maybe my lifting up of hands in surrender and humility and in a place of where I don't feel like it, when I do that, I don't know that maybe that is allowing God's angel armies to come and do battle for me that I'm not seeing. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him and take refuge in him. Taste and see. Our obedience. Do we understand that our surrender breaks open things in the heavenly? How about the things that we tolerate? You know, I've said this often, that I realize that there are things that we are okay with in the church that once we would have been disgusted by. Why? Because we have gotten to a place where we've tolerated things where we don't even think of it anymore. It doesn't even bother us anymore. Do the things that bother God bother us? Have we learned to just tolerate things? We get frustrated at the news. We get frustrated at government, school system, spouses, kids. And listen to me. I'm not saying that everything is a demon. You guys probably do enough work on your own that the demon don't have to do everything. Just saying. But there is a spirit of this world that is influencing the culture. That's influencing even why you're okay with the things you're doing. And so you may be making a choice without direct demonic empowerment. But are we naive enough to think that there is not demonic presence that is influencing the airwaves, that is influencing the things we see, to the point where things that bothered God don't bother us anymore because they've just become culturally comfortable to us now? And we're okay with it? Do you think that there's a spirit that, even if not directly, is affecting our government and our culture? After young David killed Goliath, he became a friend to the Israelite king Saul. And at one point, however, Saul became jealous and his anger turned towards David. And how many have ever experienced where you sense that God has called you? Maybe you've had moments where you've come to the altar and you have sensed the presence of God and you've encountered a move of God in your life and you feel like God's called you to radical things. God has called you to movement. God has called you to do things. And then all of a sudden you face, like David, you face destruction. I mean, what was happening with David? Like, Saul went from, like, man, you're my hero, to kill him, guys. You know what I'm talking about? Where you're, like, just loving on God. Man, I just want to love Jesus. And the next thing you know, there's death coming after you. There's destruction after you. There's destruction after your finances, after your home. And you're like, man, I was so full of joy that moment at the altar. I thought everything was going to be great. And David said, I sought the Lord and he answered and he delivered me from my fears. It says that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. David knew what it was like to be at the hero, and he knew what it was like to be at the bottom. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him, takes refuge in God. How many want to be blessed? Like, seriously, like, you just would, like, I just want God to bless me. Blessed is a man who, what? What is it? Blessed is a man who trusts in God. Blessed is a man who trusts in God. Let's unpack these a little bit. Taste. To taste is to literally perceive by experiencing. It involves a conscious decision to be involved. When my son was little, I love mint ice cream, and I don't know why, but mint ice cream has to be green for it to taste good to me. And my daughters will chew me out because they'll be like, Dad, that has preservatives and all these things in it that you don't want and all this. And they give me all this. And I'm like, I don't care. Mint ice cream should be green, not white. So I just have this thing. And so my son, when he was just a little boy, I wanted him to experience something that I loved to taste. And so I was like, all right, this is my moment. And my wife hates mint ice cream. Like, she will actually go, so my wife's Norwegian, so we call her the Viking. And so she'll actually go Viking on you if you act, like, this is true story. Like, Braden, Dan, you need to try this sometime when you're with her. Take, like, if you're doing vanilla ice cream and mint over here, take the spoon and put it, the mint one in the vanilla, and you will see Viking Lydia come out. It's amazing. It's amazing. How many love to do things to just torture your spouse? It's wonderful. And so my son, I'm like, my son is going to love mint ice cream the way I do. And so I put, he was like 2 years old or something. I put mint ice cream in front of him. And he's like, bleh. And I'm like, you haven't even tried it. He's like, it's green. I don't like green. And I'm like, what the heck is your problem, kid? I'm like, you will like this. But then I just kept, like, talking to him. I don't know. He was old enough that we could talk, so I don't remember exactly how old he was. And the issue for him was he correlated green to broccoli. And so he thought I was trying to give him mashed up broccoli. And I'm like, and I just kept saying, trust me. Trust me. Don't you trust me? And he's like, no, you're the guy who gives me broccoli. And so I'm like, trust me. You're going to like this. This is not the green that you're talking. And I went through this battle with him. I was like, you got to try it. I promise you, you're going to love it. And then he finally tried it. And he's like, this is amazing. You know, why didn't you tell me? And I'm like, I did, you stinking kid. But this is our relationship with God. Many people are more willing to give their opinion about God without first knowing God. And he gave me his opinion on mint ice cream without knowing mint ice cream. And this is what you see oftentimes. You hear people saying, oh, God is this, and he's that. I'll tell you, from somebody who knows God, I can tell you he is kind and merciful and justice. He's loving, he's graceful. and he's true. But I can say that not just because my Bible tells me so, but because he tells me so, because I know him. It's one thing to read his words. It's another thing to know his words. It's the theological equivalent of a Monday morning quarterback. You know what I'm talking about? Guys who hardly find the practice field and warmed up bench for like two seasons at high school, and they're sitting there like saying, man, if I was in that game, like if I was playing right now, then I would have done this. Yes, because if you were going in that game and a 350-pound guy was coming at you, you would have just taken it, right? And that's what we do. We watch these and we're like, if I was the referee, I would have caught that. No, you barely caught it in slow motion. This is a true story. I had a friend. He was an NBA center. And I was with the game with him. I'd gone with his family. And he was playing Shaquille O'Neal that day. And he was a center, so his job was to stop Shaq. And after the game, and he didn't do great, just to be honest with you. And after the game, I literally went to him. I'm like, Jake, dude, why didn't you at that one point, why didn't you do this and stop him? And he looked at me. He said, have you seen him? And I'm like, yeah, but I mean, my friend was 6'11", but he wasn't his like, you know, he wasn't Shaq. And so he's like, have you seen him? He's like, why don't you get out there and just go ahead and do what you think I should have done? And I was like, I'm dumb. You know, I'm like, oh, I get it. This is what we do, though. Man, if I was Pastor Dan, this is what I would do. Sure, because it's just super easy. People who claim to know about living the spiritual life, but yet have never had authentic conversation with God. Tasting God means trust. It's a leap of faith. It says, I commit my life to you. It's not leaning and having one foot of security over here. It's completely falling. Which is what salvation is, isn't it? When we come into salvation, you don't lean into salvation because there's nothing you can do to get saved. But then somewhere along the way, and once we get saved, then we start leaning instead of falling. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in God, takes refuge in him. Taste and see. If tasting is to perceive by experience, then seeing is knowing by that same experience. There's something that happens when you take a leap of faith. Something inside. There's something that God validates in us. There's this old expression that says, I'll believe it when I see it. In the kingdom of God, it's you'll see it when you believe it. That's what we do. David is in this place and he's talking of the praises of God and he's boasting on God while he's trying to be killed. To take refuge is to trust. In some of John Wesley's sermons, he described an experimental aspect of religious activities as experiencing of God's power in one's life. Henry Blackaby, who's known for his book Experiencing God, Blackaby contends that when we cooperate with a move of God in our lives, we grow as a strong and useful disciple of Jesus. But there requires cooperation. So how do you taste? I've been on lots of missions trips. I've had worms, honestly. My family still doesn't believe it. I'm like, I did. I was in Africa, and he fed me some worms, and I laid it, and it actually wasn't bad. I've been in Japan. I've opened up my bowl, and there's a fish eye staring right at me. I've had these things, but how do I do? What do you do? How do you experience the taste? You got to dive in. Not right? David knew what he was talking about. When he was tasting and seeing and trusting, he was in a place where complete destruction was coming against him. Our Heavenly Father is a good Father. Don't doubt that. I'm telling you, he's a good, good Father. God is unfathomably good. And he's already sown and shown his goodness to us. He's good through and through. Listen, I just even sense right now that there's somebody here who's dealing with some business things where your business is dealing with some pushback and some, and it's not the blessing that you expected when you were going to walk into business. And I just sensed right now that you need to hear that God is good and God is faithful. And that God wants you to come into a place right now of complete trust and surrender to Him. And that you're going to see the hand of God and the blessing of God as you come into a place of surrender. God is unfathomably good. When the world sees the goodness of God on display in the church, His favor, His blessing, His healing, they're going to take notice, y'all. That was my Tennessee that just came out there. Psalm 67, 1 through 2 says this, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. That way you may be known on earth, your salvation among all the nations. God will bless us and all the ends of the earth. I skipped to verse 7. God will bless us and all the ends of the earth will fear Him. I want you to just understand what this passage is saying. Some of the prophets foretold that in the last days we would get a revelation of God's goodness. They shall fear the Lord and His goodness on the latter days. What would it be like to tremble as a nation in absolute terror, not just because of the judgment of God, but because of the undeserved kindness of God? What would it be if the nations looked at the church and said, and they trembled in fear because of the kindness of God being displayed through His bride? His goodness has no shadow, no defect, no qualification. Every aspect of Him is good, all the way through. Ephesians 1, 17 through 18 says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints. Y'all, this is the cry of my heart. I have found that the more I fall in love with Jesus, the more that I fall out of love with the things that draw in the world. The less I care about the things that I thought I cared about. The less I care about what people think about me, and the more I care about what He thinks about me. When I take a step of trust and take refuge with Him, it's when I find out who I truly am. We sang about this today. I was made for more. I know who I am. Could it be that God is inviting you to a place of complete surrender? Could it be that God is calling you to a place of radical trust? And right in the middle of what God is calling you to do, He gives you a public example of radical trust? Would that be only the graciousness and goodness of God to say, I'm not going to just call you to radical trust, I'm going to give you a living example of it? And you can look and say, God, I love them. And God says, so do I. Could it be that that's the kindness of God to you? Because God is calling you to radical trust. And maybe He knew that you would need to see somebody that you love and trust walk in radical trust to stir you to walk in radical trust. Listen, I've seen men do some of the silliest things to pursue a woman. I was at a wedding yesterday. And it was so funny because I was watching this young man that I adore and love. And just watching him literally, because he's kind of he's a quirky kid. And I love him. True, right? And I love this kid. And I just watched him get all cleaned up. Get rid of his wild style. Get cleaned up for his bride. And I saw him for 2 hours straight, literally just. I was like, who is this goofball? I'm like, literally just for 2 hours straight, I just watched him, like his mouth probably hurts from smiling. I've seen men do silly things. I find them do crazy things just to be with the woman they love. Find time in the midst of their schedules. I mean, how many have had times where you're just like, I just don't have time for this? I remember when I started to pursue my wife. And I was in college and didn't have a lot of availability, didn't have a lot of time. But yet I found, and just, I'm just being straight up honest, I hate talking on the phone. I am not a phone guy. I remember one time I talked on the phone with her for 6 hours. I don't even know what we said. I think half of the time it was just hearing her breathe. She lived in Texas, I lived in California, and I just wanted to know she was there. I was smitten. You guys can come on up. I found the time. I made the time. Blessed is the man who trusts in God. Blessed is the man who trusts in God, who takes refuge in him. So listen to me. One can study and analyze, but there comes a point where you have to fall. When I began to pursue my wife, I had evaluated her. My mom actually introduced us and she told me she was bringing this Norwegian girl home to meet me. And she actually told me these words. She said, I'm bringing your wife home. And I'm like, what? So Lydia knocks on the door. And for 3 days, I had been processing, like, okay. And my mom wasn't one to, like, hook us up or anything like that. So I opened the door, and for 3 days, I'd been processing, like, okay, this Norwegian girl is going to come to my door, and my mom thinks this could be my wife. Like, what the heck? I opened the door, and I literally just... I just stared. And all of a sudden, she's like, hi. She didn't know anything I was processing. She didn't understand any of that. And she's like, hi. And then all of a sudden I realized, like, oh, dude, like, snap out of it. You got to pursue, homie. Like, and immediately there was this connection. And over the next few weeks, you know, God did something sweet in us. 20-some years later, we're still married. It's amazing. The Bible is clear. His greatness transcends the most brilliant minds who try to lean upon their own understanding. And he says there comes a point where you just gotta fall. You just gotta fall. He says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. I cried out to him, and he responded. You can replace this with, when I was dealing with cancer, I cried out to him, and he heard me. When our finances were struggling, I cried out, and he heard me. When I didn't know what to do, I cried, and he heard me. He's a good God. Blessed is a man who trusts in God, who takes refuge in him. You want to live the blessed life? Start falling, people. Start falling. Psalm 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Why is fearing the Lord the beginning of wisdom? Because wisdom is about right understanding and right application of the way things really are. The fundamental fact about the way things really are. And the fear of the Lord means to be God conscious. I'm going to close with this. I had a dear woman in my life. She was an auntie to me. She was there when I was born. And years ago, she had cancer. And she, the day that she died, she called four of us in to give us some last words. She could barely get any words out. And I came into that conversation with Becky. She'd been a missionary and she had experienced many great things. And I came into that conversation. And how many know that my eyes were fixed? I was attentive. Could you imagine me walking to that room being like, "What up, Becky?" As she's barely breathing. I looked her in the eyes and I grabbed a hold of every word that she said. And I listened attentively. How would you like it while you spoke to somebody and they ignored you, or the entire time they carried a conversation on with somebody else? Or if their eyes roamed with disinterest? What if every time you went over to a friend's house, you were greeted with a careless attitude and being like, "Huh, it's you again, huh?" Could you imagine if the ushers at this church were like, "You're here again?" Could you imagine if you went to your parents' house or your friend's house and you walked in, they're like, "Oh, man." You probably would stop going to that house, don't you think? Do you think the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is going to come to a place where he's not given due honor and respect? So Becky began to barely speak, but she began to talk to us. And in that moment, I found out that her life scripture was my life scripture. I never knew that. My entire life did not know that. And she looked at my wife and I. And she just looked at us and she said, "Just keep loving Jesus." I don't remember, honestly, all the other words. I just remember the feeling. And I was attentive and I remember her reading the scripture over us. What would happen right now if we would fix our eyes? Can we just for a moment get into a place of surrender? And can we fix our eyes upon Jesus? There's some of you right now, maybe you're dealing with sickness. And you need to be like David and you need to boast upon the Lord. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praise. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Take heart, loved ones. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. Some of you are going to get some joy back today. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In desperation, I prayed and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people. For those who fear him will have all they need. In order to know how good he is, you got to try the mint ice cream. You can't rely on your pastor's experience of the taste. You can't rely on your friend's experience of trusting God. You got to do it yourself. So just ask, just everyone close your eyes for a moment. And I believe there is a God's presence is in this place. And I can actually almost in the spirit realm, because remember I said that sometimes we are unaware that in the spirit realm things are happening, but in the spirit realm I can see Holy Spirit ministering right now. He's bringing healing and deliverance. He's bringing your attention upon him. I sought the Lord and he heard me. I sought the Lord and he heard me. I sought the Lord and he heard me. Right now, just bring your things to the Lord. Bring your attention, your focus to the Lord. And know that he hears you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, move on hearts right now. Lord, shift mindsets right now. Lord, move us into a place of complete dependence upon you. There's somebody who, when we were singing about, I know who I am because I know who you are. You were singing those words and saying, I don't know who I am. And the Lord right now is drawing you to know who he is so that you can know who you are right now. The Lord is drawing you into his loving arms. And he's telling you all those times that you thought you were alone, you need to know I was with you and I am with you and I will always be with you. If that's you and you're just like, I need to know that he's with me so that I can know who I am. Just raise up your hands. Let me see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. Right now, Holy Spirit, we ask that you will come and reveal yourself to these hearts right now. Lord, that they will know who you are so that they can know who they are. Lord, that your loving embrace will come right now. And you will reveal yourself to them. Lord, that you would break chains. And Lord, I thank you that your word says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. And so right now, Lord, we seek you. And we lay all of our stuff right now. And we trust you. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to go deeper in some of you. I feel like there's some people who you've known Jesus a long time. And you've done a lot of great things for the Lord, and you truly do love him. This isn't an issue of dedication to the Lord. But I feel like the Lord wants to show you that there's deeper levels in him. And he wants to reveal deeper levels of his mercy and his grace right now. And he wants to come into a place of complete falling. Trust. So right now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you will come and you will reveal yourself, Lord, to the faithful who have loved you, Lord, that they would know that there's more because you are the God of more. It's who you are. It's who you are.
And I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I
come on, y'all. Let's just, let's do this right now. Seek the Lord right now. Come on.
And he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. I trust in God.
never fail.
If you want to come into a place of new trust, deeper surrender, just say this with me. And just, if you could, if you would be led to, just extend your hands in a place of surrender before the Lord. Say, God, I trust you. I'm not leaning anymore. I'm falling. I'm all in. God, I choose you. God, I boast about your goodness. Jesus, you're faithful. Jesus, you're faithful. Oh, I'm not sure if I believe that. Jesus, you're faithful. Jesus, you are faithful. You always have been good. You always will be good. You've always been good to me. So I choose trust. I choose to taste and see the goodness of my God. Renew my mind. Take my stinking thinking and give me kingdom thinking. I want to see what you see. I want to taste what you taste. Help me to love the things you love and hate the things you hate. Lord, I put my trust in you. Here I am, God. All of me. All of me. I boast of your goodness. And I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. In God, my Savior. Listen, I just sense that God wants to bring some joy to some of you today. That right now you're seeing, you're hearing these words and you're saying, yeah, I believe that God is good and God is faithful. But man, I'm going through some stuff. And did you know that even in the midst of trial, you can, even in the midst of pain, you can experience joy? Why? Because I trust in God. It doesn't mean things don't hurt. Doesn't mean that things aren't scary. It just means that even in your pain, he's still good. I just believe that God wants to be the lifter of some of your heads today. I'm going to ask two things. If you're sick here and you just need a healing touch of Jesus, just lift up your hands right now. Can you just, those around them, just get around. And then if you're in this place and you just need some joy, you just need God to just lift up your head and bring joy right now. Just lift up your hands. And can you just, if somebody's around you, just put your hand on their shoulder. Wait, they know they're not alone. So right now I speak over sickness and I cast you down in the name of Jesus. And I speak and declare the blood of Jesus. right now, and I declare healing in Jesus' name. Declare healing in Jesus' name. We just thank you, Lord, that you are the healer, that you are the redeemer. Lord, that you are the one who restores. Your word says that every knee will bow and every tongue confess at the name of Jesus. And so right now we call this sickness to bow at the name of Jesus. We call arthritis to bow at the name of Jesus. We call cancer to bow at the name of Jesus. We just declare migraines to bow at the name of Jesus. We declare infirmities to bow at the name of Jesus. And we also just declare right now in this house, the joy of the Lord to be our strength. We just declare joy to rise up in Jesus' name. Joy to rise up in Jesus' name. Where there's been a spirit of heaviness, we replace it with a spirit of joy right now in the name of Jesus. That no longer are you bound by depression and anxiety, but right now the spirit of joy is coming upon you. And you are going to see clear again. And I even sense that there's somebody who's dealing with deep loss right now. And the Lord is revealing to you that even in the deep sense of loss and pain, that you can still experience the joy of his presence. And so right now, I just ask for the presence and the power of God to saturate each and every soul here. And that they would know that the joy of the Lord is their strength. That he is the lifter of their heads. And so, Lord, we trust you. We trust you. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Jesse.
Lord, we thank you that you are a Father who gives us good gifts, God. Thank you for ministering to us, Lord. We're fully surrendered, God. We're falling into you, God. That's our heart's desire. That's our cry. That's our prayer, Lord. That we would indeed boast in you, Father. Oh, God. That we would taste and see that you're good, God. And that we would grow in our tasting and seeing that you're good. Your mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. Don't you just love serving the Lord? Don't you love Jesus? Come on. So good. So good. Pastor Scott, thank you so much for ministering to us this morning. Thank you for being here. We give him another round of applause. If you could stand with me right where you're at, I won't keep you too long here. I want to remind you that this coming Thursday, May 2nd, we have the National Day of Prayer, and that will be taking place here at 7 p.m. And then I want to remind you for the men's bowling event, there's a sign up at the Welcome Center. Please stop by there for that. And if you still do need prayer, our prayer team is here off to my right, your left. And if you're visiting with us, I also want to invite you to stop by your Welcome Center. We have a free gift for you today. And then before we get into our benediction, and I know we repeat this weekly, but I want us to truly say as a prayer that we truly believe that the Lord will do immeasurably more than we can ever expect or imagine. And so we'll get into that shortly. But we also, Kim, who has been attending LifeSpring here for some time, she recently got baptized here and has been walking through the journey of cancer. And she wants to bless us this morning just for the way you, LifeSpring, have loved on her and served her as she continues to walk through this journey with her family. And so her coffee cart is actually outside, and she has a bunch of drinks on there, and they're all free. There's no food there. There's just drinks. But whatever you want to have that's on the menu, you can get a free drink on her today. And so if we could just love on her. Kim, thank you so much for loving on us as well. And so would you say this with me? Ephesians 3:20 to 21. It says, now to him who's able to do immeasurable. Work within us. To him be glory in the church.
Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
You guys are dismissed. See you back here this evening for Next Level Class.